Welcome to the VK7 Regional News for 23rd of July 2017. This broadcast is brought to you by VK7WI and read today by Peter VK7PD. This broadcast utilises repeaters around VK7 and the following HF rebroadcast stations. On 3.57 MHz by Ross, VK7ALH. On 7.14 MHz by Mark, VK7FB. On 14.13 MHz by Jack, VK7IL. And on 28.525 MHz by Peter, VK7TPE. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday night at 8 PM on repeaters VK7RTC in the south and VK7RAA in the north. Northwest News, Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club, CCARC. VK7RMD update. I have a very special and important message from one of the Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club Inc. technical team to take care of their repeater network. A few weeks ago, Dick walked the hard slog up Mount Duncan to the repeater site VK7RMD carrying quite a heavy Unilab 2-metre replacement repeater that has had a CTCSS tone fitted to attempt to eliminate the strange interference which the repeater has suffered since putting it back on air after a long absence. The tone decided on is 141.3, which has always been the tone on the 70cm repeater at the same site. It is planned to install this tone to all the club's repeaters over time as site checks, repairs or maintenance allows. Dick reported that the repeater appears to have just as good specs on the bench as the one being removed, also for a tone to be fitted as a replacement spare repeater. Obviously the team would like some reports to confirm that it works as well as it has after recommissioning. The club hopes that this will cause no inconvenience to any amateurs that have been using the device. The club wishes to point out that the Mount Duncan repeater site has now been returned to its original configuration with 2 and 70 centimetre voice only traffic. The club has requested and paid all the fees for extensions to the mountain's frequencies, one being APRS for battery monitoring and who knows down the track. There are other plans also in the wind for Duncan and fees and paperwork is in with the ACMA. There will be further information on these matters after ACMA approval and frequencies. As some final information for those who may not know, the club also provides its infrastructure to house the Northwest St John Ambulance Repeater. 73 David, VK7EX for CCARC, and I could add to that that I can access the 2-metre repeater from both Bridport and Launceston as well as ever. Well done, Dick. Northwest Tas Radio and TV Group, NWTR and TVG, Club General Meeting. Members and friends are advised that the next meeting of NWTR and TVG is a general meeting. It's programmed for Saturday, 12th August 2017. Note, the scheduled bi-monthly meeting date of 5th August has been changed to 1 week later to the 12th August due to the fact that key executive members will not be available to attend on the scheduled date. Venue is the Lions Club facility, showground Flora Street, West Ulverston, with a start time of around 2 PM. As is normal practice, an open invitation is extended to anyone interested in the hobby of amateur radio and allied electronics to attend. Once again, Peter VK7PD has offered to continue with his excellent presentation on weak signal modes. This time it will feature JT65. As a practical demonstration, Peter plans to go portable up the road with mobile gear while someone sets up a laptop radio at the club rooms. This sounds like an excellent activity following the meeting, so we suggest you again mark this one in your calendar as not to be missed. The date again for the next NWTR and TVG general meeting is Saturday, 12th August 2017. 73 until next time. Tony, VK7AX, News Officer, NWTR and TVG. Northern News, Northern Tasmania Amateur Radio Club. This is being penned as we were preparing to head off for the NTARC Field Weekend at Santorina Park, Scottsdale this weekend, so it will be necessarily brief. Actually, it is also brief because I have not received anything of real news for several weeks. Come on, guys, some of you must be doing something of interest to your fellow amateur operators. Scuttlebug suggests somebody new to the scene is trying out 1296 MHz locally, but do you really want me to follow the apparent current vogue and write up a story based on alternative facts? Surely hearing it straight from the source would be far preferable. Events: August General Meeting, Wednesday 9th, meeting to commence at 19:30 hours, 7:30 p.m. This will be followed by a show and tell, but if the overhead projector is not required for any item, we will remain in the main hall. Winter Social Dinner. For many years, NTARC has been holding a special dinner halfway between August and September meeting. This year, the event will be held on Wednesday, 23 August. The venue will again be Steve's Bar and Grill, Bathurst Street, Launceston, opposite the Coles supermarket. Dining is a la carte and drinks available from the bar. Meet time will be 6:30 p.m. for sit down at 7 p.m. Tables are to be booked this week, so if you are interested, then please contact the secretary by email secretary@ntarc.net. I already have a number of acceptances, so if you are planning to attend, then please email me at the above address. Equine event. NTARC has again been invited by the Northeast Equine Endurance Club to provide safety and RFID tracking for the Jollylet Memorial Ride to be held at Scottsdale on Saturday, 26 August. More information closer to the event. Coffee mornings. A reminder that our twice weekly coffee sessions are held every Monday and Friday, commencing at 10 a.m. and running through till about noon or longer if members want to linger longer. Please remember that aside from the good company and fare on offer, these coffee events are normally a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards, and we do have a few cards from Herman, VK7HW's latest farm gate delivery, awaiting collection. Please demonstrate your appreciation of all the effort that goes into operating the club and its facilities and other services we provide by joining us at these sessions, enjoying the company, coffee and cake, and leaving a gold coin or two, or even a small banknote in the jar to assist in our ongoing operations. Finally, a reminder to all members that if you have any items of news you would like added to the weekly roundup, then please email. The email address is secretary@ntarc.net. 73 Yvonne, VK7FYMX, Secretary, NTARC Inc. You are listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. Southern News, Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania Inc., IoT workshop with Taslug. Earlier this month, we heard Ben, VK7BEN, talk about IoT low-power networks, and now for those who were interested and want more, Scott, VK7LXX, will be running an IoT workshop with Taslug and the Hobart Makers as part of National Science Week on the evening of August 17. In the workshop, Scott will be working with IoT kit that contains a low-pi controller with expansion board and some sensors for measuring temperature, distance, soil moisture. Attendees will need to bring along a laptop and will also have the option of purchasing the kit at the end of the workshop to take home and put to use. Book fast. This workshop is limited to 10 people and it is a ticketed event. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit the Hobart Makers page linked to the text edition of the broadcast. Reist signs long-term lease. I'm extremely proud to advise members that earlier this week, members of the Reist Management Committee met with a representative from Tasmanian Maritime Radio to sign a long-term lease, securing access to the building for 10 years with an additional 10-year option. The signing of the lease ensures that members will be able to enjoy the club rooms that have been the home of the WIA Tasmanian Division and then Reist for over 25 years. Particular thanks go to Barry McCann, who's been instrumental in negotiating and securing the lease with the Hobart City Council and ensuring that the interests of Reist members were maintained. Reist for sale by tender. The tender has now closed, and I would like to thank everyone who made offers. People with offers that have been accepted and should already have been contacted by email, or will be shortly, with a summary of the tender sent to be sent to all members later this week. The tender has been very successful in raising funds for the association and will be used towards improving club amenities. 73 Ben, VK7BEN. August Presentation Night, Antarctic Communications. The August Presentation Night will highlight our RF linkage with the icy Antarctic continent to the south. It will feature Antarctic communications from HF to satellite to maritime and everything else. Some history, some theory, some reminiscing and some fun. This presentation will be by a number of Reist members headed up by Kim, VK7KB. This event will be live streamed to YouTube and a link will be shared soon. When will it happen? 2nd of August 2017 at 7:30 p.m. Another Reist talk not to be missed. Experimenters Night. This week we continue with our 3.4 GHz panel transverter conversion process. Last week we had an enthusiastic team forming the conversion production line. All four panels checked out and the shields were removed along with the filter and hardline. The control PCBs were populated and nearly finished on the night. Thanks to all involved on the night who manned soldering irons, blow torches, hot air torches, pliers, tweezers and a variety of other interesting items. We continue this Wednesday night with the modifications, PCB mounting and RF changeover relays that are making their way to us from minikits. We will also organise the programming for the panels. So see you Wednesday night for the next session of Conversion Mania. See you on Wednesday, 26th July from 7:30 p.m. Keep an eye on the Reist Tas Facebook page events for details. 73 Justin VK7TW. Technology news. ADC has full-scale range of 3200 electrons. Do you want to measure extremely low currents? Then this new current to digital converter may be just the thing for you. The new device is intended to help computed tomography, CT scanners, to produce sharper, more detailed images that in turn will help physicians to produce more accurate diagnosis while subjecting patients to lower doses of radiation. The new AS5900 detector interface chip for CT X-ray scanners from AMS is ultra low noise and requires only 3200 electrons for a full scale range at an input current of 1 microamp and at 30 pf input capacitance, enabling it to digitize extremely low current outputs from the latest high sensitivity diodes. The Sigma Delta analog to digital converter features 26-bit resolution while operating at high acquisition rates for this kind of applications, and the adjustable integration time can be set as low as 50 microseconds. Other programmable features are gain, power mode, and clock frequency. The current to digital converter includes an internal reference voltage and temperature sensor and provides a standards LVDS interface to a host FPGA running at a data rate of up to 80 megabits per second. Curiously, the device is priced at $1 per channel and it has 128 of them. Written by Clemens Valens and sourced from Elector Webezine. Communications news. Why Novi sees Morse code as the future of communication. Engineering reports that for centuries, mariners around the globe have used lamps and shutters to beam messages via Morse code from ship to ship. But today, Morse code isn't being learned by every sailor, even though lamplight communication is still being used. So how do we reconcile these two facts? Well, if you're the US Navy, you update your lamplight communication system to encode the modern form of Morse code, texting. In a test recently carried out aboard the USS Stout, the US Navy used a new mechanism it calls the Flashing Light to Text Converter, FLTC system. During the test, sailors aboard the Stout fired off text messages and the FLTC converted them to their Morse code lamp light signals, which were interpreted by the USS Monterey moored at a dock in Norfolk, Virginia. The best part of the flashing light converter is how easy it is for sailors to see, said Scott Lowry, a Naval Surface Warfare Center engineer. It's very intuitive because it mirrors the messaging system used on iPhones. You just type your message and send it with the push of a button. Read the full engineering story at the web link on the email edition of this broadcast, sourced from Southgate ARC Web Zine. You're listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. Technology news. Wimbledon goes LED lighting. For those tennis fans who watched Wimbledon this year, did you realise that the lighting was supplied by LEDs? A US company called Musco Lighting has been commissioned to install state-of-the-art LED lighting systems within the infrastructure of Wimbledon's centre court. After more than 2 years of extensive research, planning and testing, Musco claims their solution was custom-engineered precisely to the needs at centre court. I'm not sure if it's a definite bonus to the Wimbledon experience, either live or on TV, but a Musco lighting spokesperson said the new installation involves reducing the amount of time required by the lights to warm up or cool down, thus making it quicker to resume play. The Wimbledon Musco project leaders went on to see the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City, home of the US Open, to be able to evaluate the performance of the new LED technology. As the project moved ahead, a mock-up of the visual setting at Central Court was created at Musco's manufacturing and research plant in Iowa, where engineers tested different Kelvin temperatures and color rendering indexes, CRI, to achieve optimum direct and indirect lighting for broadcasts. The television crew was brought in from the UK to conduct camera testing to ensure broadcast quality. Even professional tennis players were asked to review the US lights at Central Court and offer inputs for final adjustments. The installation was completed back in November 2016. Written by Jan Buting and sourced from Elector Web Zine. Technology news. Seaweed, just what your battery needs. Lithium sulfur batteries offer interesting possibilities for application as a cheap energy source with large power density for mobile and stationary applications. The advantages of this technology are that the raw material, sulfur, costs almost nothing and that the capacity to store energy is much greater than that of a lithium-ion battery. The big problem, however, is that the capacity reduces quickly. Researchers from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, Berkeley Lab, have, however, made an unexpected discovery that can change this. The team under the leadership of Gao Liu discovered that carrageenan, which is extracted from seaweed, can function as a stabilizer in lithium-sulfur batteries. Increased stability makes a larger number of charge-discharge cycles and a longer life possible. Current rechargeable lithium-sulfur batteries are already being used on a limited scale, but the fatal problem is that the sulfur begins to dissolve, which results in what is called polysulfide shuttling effect, where polysulfide ions migrate back and forth between the electrodes. In an attempt to find a solution to this problem, Liu experimented with a synthetic polymer as a binding agent in order to keep all the active materials in a cell together. A binding agent can be considered a type of glue, and normally battery manufacturers want an inert binding agent, that is, therefore, chemically inactive. However, the binding agent that Liu used reacts immediately with sulfur and thereby prevents the sulfur from dissolving. When searching for a naturally occurring material with the same properties, the team working with Gao Lu arrived at carrageenan, a thickening agent that is used in, for example, ice cream and yogurt, and that is derived from red seaweed and works just as well as the synthetic polymer. Written by Eric Boges and sourced from Elector Web eZine. Regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. Regular gatherings. NTARC, Monday and Friday coffee sessions from 10 a.m. in club rooms, Archer Street, Rochalie, Launceston. REST, Wednesday afternoon group meets from noon, then the experimenters' night from 7:30 p.m. in the Queen's Domain Club Rooms, Hobart. REST, 23cm QSO party, following after this Sunday's broadcast on 1296.1MHz FM, then moves to 1296.2MHz JT65 in the Greater Hobart area. REST, FSQ Fridays, 144MHz USB at 20 hours, then 7105kHz USB at 2020, then 3580kHz USB at 2040. Events, REST, August 2, Antarctic Communications with Kim, VK7 Kilo Bravo, and others from 7:30 at the Queen's Domain Club Rooms. REST, August 11 to 12, Festival of Bright Ideas, National Science Week, Prince's Wharf, No. 1. NWTR and TVG, August 12, General Meeting and Digital Modes, Lions Club, Flora Street, Ulverston, from 2 p.m. NTARC, August 23, Winter Social Dinner, Steve's Bar and Grill, from 6:30 p.m. If you're interested in becoming an amateur radio operator or upgrading your licence, then we suggest you contact your local club for details and or take a look at what the Radio and Electronics School has to offer. They have a range of courses that can be delivered through a variety of methods. They can be found at www.res.net.au. A reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcasts. Newsreader, VK7FB. Repeaters, REST, NTARC and NWTR and TVG. 80 metres VK7ALH, 40 metres VK7TW, 20 metres any takers, 10 metres VK7VKT. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RTC in the south and VK7RAA in the north. Thanks to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That concludes our VK7 regional news broadcast for this week. You've been listening to or just missed VK7WI. Next week, the national WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the VK7 regional news at 0930 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to the VK7 Regional News and Broadcast Coordinator, Justin, VK7TW, at vk7tw@wia.org.au. Further information about the broadcast can be found at the VK7 Regional News Yahoo group. And the deadline for items is 2100 on Friday prior to the Sunday of the broadcast. VK7WI is now closing but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the callback. From VK7 Regional News, it's good morning or good evening if you're listening Tuesday night. From Peter, VK7 Papa Delta.